But I want you to know that I fully recognize that I'm probably the last person in between you and a nice dinner. So I will be short and sweet, and I'd love for this to be conversational. With any questions that come up, please insert those into the chat function. I wanted to talk about the General Land Office and how that fits into this conference, because we're really, if you look at our daily functions, we're at the core of what this conference is all about, and that's maintaining our rich heritage as Texans, but also looking toward the future, anticipating changes that are occurring in our state and our nation's economy. And that's what we do at the Land Office, essentially as the asset manager for the rich resources, particularly natural resources that the state of Texas owns. We're also, and a lot of folks are sometimes surprised to hear this, the oldest state agency in Texas government. We were created at the dawn of the Texas Republic in 1836 with two functional roles. One was to clear title. So as you were creating, imagine if you were to create your own country and you have new landowners come in and stake their claim, you would need a title office essentially to resolve and disputes and challenges, whether they be legal or otherwise at that time. And it's actually a role that carries on to this day through our legal and surveying functions. Also, the land office was created to honor military veterans that basically took up arms against the Mexican government during the days of the Republic. And that's a role that continues to this day, where we partner with the federal VA to manage veterans affairs for all of our state's veterans. In a population of about 28 million, we have about 1.8 million military veterans. I happen to be one of those. And this program was actually created after World War II by the legislature, once it became clear that hundreds of thousands of vets returning from their service after World War II would need guidance in terms of financial services to buying their first home, even elderly care facilities that we maintain to this day. You know, since we have a rich tradition at the land office, we're not a stranger to disruptive events. And the pandemic certainly was one that we didn't anticipate, but one that we were prepared to take on. I think, like a lot of you, we moved to a remote work environment where all of our staff, all 880 of us, whether down in the South Padre Island area or up in the Highlands, have been able to pivot successfully. And I'm proud to tell you that we're not the only one. Most of our state functions in Austin have been able to make that pivot and make it work and be more efficient than ever. And I truly think that it'll change the future workforce of state government. We're also at the center of not only land management, but energy issues. Taking a step back, and for those of you that are online right now, you can check out our portfolio on our website at texasglo.com, where you can actually look at what the state maintains. And so 13 million acres is a vast responsibility that we have, combining surface and mineral rights, most of which is in the Trans-Pecos Corridor west of the Pecos River, and predominantly in Reeves County. About half of the portfolio we manage and the royalties that come off of oil and gas production come from that one county alone, which shows you how prolific that region is for public education. What's interesting is people don't realize that those revenues are constitutionally protected. They go to not only K-12 education here in Texas, but I also serve as chair with two of the UT Board of Regents, one of the A&M Board of Regents, that manage a separate portfolio of 2.1 million acres in the heart of the Midland Basin that generates roughly about $1 billion of royalty revenues for the UTEMCO endowment. So both of which are truly unique to Texas, unlike anything you'll see in any other part of the country, where the endowment that UTEMCO manages, I believe, is close to about $30 billion. And in our partnership with the State Board of Education in the K-12 portfolio, we now manage close to $42 billion. So a great gift that the forefathers of the Texas Republic gave to the children of Texas, and I consider one of the most important roles that we have. So in addition to the management of that portfolio and managing the royalties that predominantly come from oil and gas, we also keep an eye toward new technologies, particularly in renewables. You may already be familiar with the fact that Texas generates more wind energy than any other state in the country. We're number two in solar now, behind California, but well on our way to being number one. And as we talk a little bit about the winter grid, renewables was blamed in many respects for the over-reliance and the larger percentage. And I think that's debatable. But it's all to say that renewables are an increasing share of the power grid that we have in Texas. I would also say that battery storage technology is something we're trying to reach out to the private sector on to look at those innovations and figure out even better ways in which renewables can be cheaper to power producers and also power consumers in Texas to be part of the solution and take away the unreliability at times of, say, wind in the middle of what we saw in the winter storm earlier this year. You know, as people were pointing the fingers at different sources of energy, to the extent that we can store battery power and be able to transport it to urban areas quickly and rapidly in the middle of a disaster or inclement weather would further mitigate against any threat in the future. And that's something we're also working on. In the middle of the Chinese trade fight that we had in prior years, our agency also looked inward in terms of evaluating the national security positioning of our state and our country as related to rare earth minerals. So most of the materials in the laptop that you're looking at and the handhelds that you transact most of your life on usually requires lithium and or other rare earth minerals. And as it turns out, we have not only traceable amounts of these materials on GLO lands, but we also have commercial quantities. And when we look at the fact that as a country, we import more than 90% of these materials, we thought it was not only economically important for the beneficiaries, which are the school children of Texas, but also from a national security standpoint, very important.